So at some point here, did the band go with Alpha Productions?
Yes, it was shortly thereafter we went with Alpha Productions, and Ralph Ortez was, you know, of course familiar with the system, but he was also very familiar with Chesterfield Gathering. He had booked them, and they were on the Live at the Depot album. And so when we added Gar and Jeff, he was totally on board about that. He says, yeah, this is going to be a great band. So that's how that kind of helped perpetuate that.
I believe you told me you played a number of jobs with Steppenwolf.
Mm-hmm.
What do you recall about Steppenwolf?
Well, my best recollection of Steppenwolf was when we played at the Minneapolis Armory. I remember Phil Birdall was with us then, but he had just broken his leg or his ankle in a car accident. So Gary came back to play with us, and Gary hadn't played for a while, but we thought, well, who knows our songs better than Gary at that point. I remember that we did not perform that well, and I remember we got a little wind taken out of our sails in the newspaper the next day.
Oh, you got reviewed in the newspaper?
Yeah, kind of negatively, yeah. Mm. Yeah, so... Well, you know, that's the music biz. There's the ups and the downs, you know. You're out there doing it, and you're only as good as the last note you played.
Mike, do you recall how many times the band played with Steppenwolf?
4 times.
Do you recall the different locations?
I believe one of the times we were with Steppenwolf was at the Minnesota State Fair. I don't know if we immediately preceded them, but we... performed maybe we were maybe played the second band before Steppenwolf, I think.
Did you have any interaction with John Kay, the lead singer?
No, I think they pretty much kept to themselves. We did talk to the guys from Three Dog Night when we played with them. They were pretty friendly, and the bass player especially, I remember having a really nice conversation with him. He was great.
Okay, what happens next with the system?
Well, we're out performing, and we're auditioning for... we auditioned at a showcase audition up in St. Cloud for a bunch of colleges and whatever, and Ralph Ortez had set that up. That was just a wonderful showcase for us. I remember us just getting wonderful reviews from everybody that was at that, from the representatives from all the different colleges and what have you, and we got... lots of really nice bookings from it, and that was with Michael on lead vocals, Vic Campbell on keyboards, myself on bass, Gar Johnson on drums, and Jeff Boucher on lead guitar. And at that time, we had added a lot of Yes music for cover tunes. We were doing Roundabout and a lot of progressive rock. I've Seen All Good People was another one of the tunes we did, and some others. So we were moving more into that genre and doing Edgar Winter songs from his first album, like Jump Right Out, some of the jazzier rock things, some things that were a little bit more musically progressive. That was a really good time. And shortly after that, though, Gar got a call from Danny Holian, who had just gotten a record deal and recorded his hit song, Colorado, and offered Gar a really good deal and to move out to Colorado and hang out in Golden, Colorado, and join the Danny Holian's bands, which Gar ended up doing. And at that point, we added Bernie Pershey as drummer for the band, who had been formerly with White Lightning. Gar and Bernie are both extremely wonderful drummers, but Bernie is extremely flashy. Gar's got this incredible groove and wonderful creativity, and Bernie is just—he's like, he's a masterful drummer, and he really added a lot to the band, and as well. So we had some wonderful musical experiences with Bernie and the band.
So, Mike, again, when Bernie took over on drums, was there once again a change in the sound of the system?
Oh, most definitely. Bernie's playing, to my mind, was way too busy. and it was definitely a different direction. But we had lots of gigs, and so we were still working it, and the band was slowly coming to an end at that time.
Mm-hmm. There, Bernie was at that time a Mahavishnu Orchestra was coming out, and we ended up doing a couple of Mahavishnu tunes, and that's kind of, you know, Bernie's style, you know, a play, you know, or what he's really adept at that a lot of drummers can't do. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, Mike, I have to agree with Mike that as far as, you know, wanting a really solid groove drummer, it was hard to beat Gar. But to me, Bernie was extremely enjoyable. but yeah, you could say he was busy at times, but yeah.
So looking back on your time with System, any highlights that stick out? Any good memories of the band?
Oh, lots of great memories from all eras. In the beginning, it was just being a part of this wonderful music scene that was just booming at that time in 1967, 68, and 69. I mean, that whole era, whole time frame, the System was together. It was a real boom period for music, and all the different configurations of the System, each individual one, we had, you know, wonderful highlights from, I'd say some of my favorite musical highlights were from the latter times in the band, but They all had their highlights, I would say, musically, and then it was just, there was so much going on with just being in a band and interacting with all the other bands that were going on. It was just a wonderful scene, just really exciting. Yeah,
Mike, how about you? Any special memories?
Well, the members in the band, all of them, we had a good camaraderie. All the fellows were great. I just consider myself very, very fortunate to have grown up and played in that era where the bands could actually find some kind of fame and you could actually make a living doing it. So I know how fortunate I am to have been a part of the System.
Looking back at that time frame, were there any local bands or local musicians that really impressed you, that stood out?
Well, I remember one of the first bands that I saw, local bands I saw that really impressed me, was the Ravons. I saw them at the Golden Valley Country Club, and I remember that I'm a Man by the Yardbirds had just come out, and that was a pretty radical song to be on Top 40 radio at that time. And it, I mean, I literally heard it for the first time that day. I went to see Ravons that night, and here's Dick Wiegand just, you know, playing that song. You know, I mean, the whole band had the whole thing down, and that was, you know, I thought that really impressed me. And then, of course, yeah, Dick was one of my extreme favorite guitar players. He was just had such a touch on Jeff Beck. I mean, he just, what a touch. And then when I got to know Dick later on, I used to hang around with him back when he was in Crow. He'd say, yeah, stop over, and I'd stop over, and here he's down. He's playing Chet Atkins and stuff. Dick was one of my favorite guitar players back in that era. He just had such a touch. And, of course, there's so many good players. You know, Lonnie Knight had just a wonderful touch, still a great player. Mike, who's some of the guys you remember?
There's so many.
I know. Where do you start?
Where do you start?
Mike, did you have a favorite local band or local musician that really impressed you a lot?
Oh, you know, I didn't really have a favorite. I can't find one in the back of my mind, but I don't think I had a favorite. I liked them all. Everyone was different. But maybe there was so much going on, it was hard for me to put my finger on
favorite. I'm so glad you put it that way because, you know, here I am trying to parse that out. Yeah, it's really hard. I think about it, you know, you go out to see the Del Counts. Love that band. The Jokers was a great band. Totally unique at their time. And then something completely different. The horn bands, like, you know, the Mystics and Dave Brady and the Stars and all those bands. I mean, there was really a lot of really good music going on. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to pick and choose. There was really great players and great bands. And it was really cool.
So after the System, did you stay in music or move on to other things?
I stayed in music. Right after the System, I went into Jesse Brady as the lead singer.
Okay, and do you play or sing now, Mike? Or
no?
Okay,
right.
Okay, Dick. After the System, what did you do?
I got married, and moved to New Mexico, and regrouped with Dave Rivel, who had written a whole bunch of original music, and a drummer that was in my basement band, the Gammons, Brad Taft. So the three of us went down with my new wife and rented a cabin up in Ute Park, New Mexico, and recorded Dave's original songs for about 3 months. Then Shirley's dad got ill with cancer, and we moved back and continued working on Dave's songs. And then I needed to get a job, so Dave and I got together with Phil Birdall, who we worked with in the System, and put a little trio together called North Coast. Did that for a little while. Then I joined a band called Max and Music, a jazz ensemble where I played upright bass with Tim and Tess Burnham. She was the lead vocalist. He was a drummer and a wonderful guitar player, still out playing, Dean Granrus. And that was a really fun trio. Then a band called Grant Central Station, a band called Skyline. Then got into a really popular band called Spangle and did that for about 4 years. Then I joined the house band at Eddie Webster's. That band was called Cabaret Connection. That was during the disco era. We played the night was half live and half disco, so we'd alternate sets with the disco. And then that ended because of some business problems at Webster's. They fixed their business problems, and then it came back and joined the house band and was there for about 6 years. The band was called Wall Street then. After that, I joined a band called the Beachcombers for a few years. And before that, I was starting to do some things on my own on the side. So I kind of started booking myself and having my own kind of production company, which ended up being what I'm doing today, Richard Allen Productions. And I had a band called the Sons of the Beach, and then ended up starting the Teddy Bear Band, performs for young children, and it's done quite well, it's pretty popular, and still do that today. And then have a band called Rich and the Resistors, we're still out performing today, and we do a bunch of other shows. Had a jazz group called Higher Ground. We don't do quite as often now, but we did quite a bit back in the early 80s and to the 90s. I'm still, you know, still having at it. Nobody told me to stop yet.
Okay, Mike and Dick, thank you for telling us about your time with the system.
Thank you.
And thank you, Tom, for having us.
Great.
The preceding interview was recorded on June 10th, 2012, at Sunrise Sound in Rogers, Minnesota, and was produced by Danny Johnson and Tom Campbell. The copyright owner of this interview is MinniePaulMusic.com.
From you.
Still there's something that I long so much to see.
Those smiling eyes are waiting for me.